lifted up. Be lifted up as we bow down. Be lifted up. Be lifted.
Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord, and we just worship you. Lord, we do bow down before you, and Lord, we bow down before you, and we ask you, Lord, to be here with us today, Lord, guide and direct things that are done, Lord. Lord, we pray for our nation today, Lord. We pray that you intervene in the lives of our leaders, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit be in control, Lord. Lord, we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Today I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw the same old crowd I used to know. And when they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them that thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Oh, thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man that I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. While the tears rolled down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. And I went back to the house where I used to live. My little boy, he ran. I said, son, oh, never fear, you've got a new daddy. 'Cause thanks to Calvary, that old man don't live here anymore. Amen. Oh, thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man that I used to be. And thanks to Calvary, are different than before. And while the tears rolled down my face, I tried to tell them that thanks to Calvary, that old man don't live here anymore. Amen. Amen. I tell you, thanks to Calvary, I'm not the same man I used to be. And I believe that. That's my testimony in itself. And I tell you, when God gets a hold of your life, He changes you. He does something to you. You're not the same you used to be. Amen? I mean, my life is sometimes, you know, upside down, it seems like. But God brings order. God brings peace. Especially when you follow Him. And I believe that with all my heart. Why? Because I've had an experience with the Savior. You know, some people I talk to, I've talked to several people every week. I talked to a guy this week that doesn't live around here. And man, I tell you what, he kind of humbled me. I'm talking to him and he said, are you still working? I said, no, I pastor full time now. And he said, that's awesome. He said, I follow you. I was like, what? You follow me? He goes, yeah. He said, I listen to your sermons. He said, I read what you do, your church does. He said, I read about you. He said, so I'm keeping up with you. He said, I'm really proud of you. I'm like, wow. Man, that was humbling to me. It wasn't a proud moment, I would say, you know, in my heart. I didn't feel arrogant. I didn't feel proud. I felt humbled that God is using our church, not just me, but He's using our church. And people are noticing, people are seeing it. The things that we do. You know, I talked a few weeks ago about what we say matters. And I believe that. What we say, what we do, and today, what we believe. That's what I want to talk. I want to ask this question. Does what you believe, what we believe, does it really matter? Does what you believe really make a difference or affect the outcome of your life? And I believe yes, absolutely yes. What we believe matters. You know, there's a large percentage of Americans that no longer believe in the truth of God's Word. And it's evident right now. We can see it. You can watch the news, you can walk through the communities and you can see there's a great number of people who may say there's a God, maybe believe in some form of God, but they really don't believe in the truth of the Word of God. And that's more evident now than ever, especially in this nation. Many think and believe it's acceptable as long as it satisfies those who hold to that view, that some believe in Buddha and Muhammad and there's Wiccans. If you don't know what that is, that's just sorcery, people that believe in witchcraft. There's Satanists. And there's who believe in just simply nothing. It's hard to understand, but I mean, there's all kinds of mixed up beliefs in our nation, in this area around us. I mean, it's everywhere. You don't have to go very far. You see it. I had somebody tell me that they work with somebody who practices in Wiccan. I'm like, you know, they're like, it really kind of surprised them, but they're everywhere. Mixed up beliefs. We got a mixed up belief, a society. You know, and it's much like what Paul faced when he wrote letters to many of the churches. They were all mixed up in pagan stuff and believing in the, you know, mythological gods and all this kind of stuff that they were mixed up in. Paul faced that same society then, I think what we're facing today. This mixed up belief of things. I say what we believe matters. As a result, people no longer have a clear sense of what's right and wrong. I see that more and more all the time. There's violence and greed and immorality, and it's running rampant. And all we have to do is just look around or watch the news. And God's standards, though, haven't changed. God's standards haven't changed. And God is still the same yesterday as He is today and forevermore. God is still on the throne. His Word hasn't changed. And the consequences of sin now and for eternity remain the same. People are still going to die and go to hell. Because they didn't keep hold of their beliefs. That's the point of my message this morning is, you know what you believe and you keep hold of that. It's vitally important to base our beliefs on the Word of God so that you and I can be the light of this world in a dark world. Just like what Lottie and Herman and the kids are doing when they take groceries out to these people's houses and they get to share the Word. It's not that they don't have problems too in their life, but yet they can share the love of God because God brings love and they understand what that love is that God brought them. Just like the song that I sang. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, it says, And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. All my hope is in Jesus, right? Song. The meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. What do most Americans believe in 2021? What do you think? What would be your answer? What do you think most Americans believe today? It's not the same as it was 50 years ago. I mean, for the most part, you can go to Walmart and you can ask people in Walmart as you walk through there if they believe in God. And I would say in our community, most people would say they believe in some form, some way, that they believe in God. I will say what I believe does matter and will affect my life. What you believe matters and it will affect your life. Statistics show about a third of adult believers believe that the Bible is fully inspired Word of God and can be taken literally word for word. More than half of all adult believers that believe that a good person can earn a place in heaven. How do we define good? I read a book, Francis Chan. It's called Letters to the Church. And such a good book if you get a chance to read it. But Francis, he goes through and he asks those hard questions like that to people. How do you define good? What is good? Who do you compare good to? Are you defining yourself? If you ask yourself, are you a good person? You say, well, yeah, I'm a good person. But who are you comparing yourself to? Are you comparing yourself to Hitler? I mean, who are you comparing yourself? How do you define good in a person? There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. He's the only good. Scripture teaches us this otherwise because we were born with a sin nature, and Jesus' death was absolutely essential for us to enter heaven. Christ said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. That's in John 14, 6. Does what you believe really matter? 42% of Americans believe Jesus was merely human, not divine, and that he rebelled against the Father during his lifetime. That's hard to believe, isn't it? These are all questions statistically asked. You know, but Christ had to be the absolute holy for his death to pay the sin debt of humanity. And he was a sinless, guiltless man on this earth. I believe that with all my heart. That's what I believe, and it matters. 6 out of 10 adults believe Satan doesn't really exist. 6 out of 10. That he's merely just a symbol of evil. The thing is as a result of that, they will find it almost impossible to identify and to avoid evil in their life. So what we believe matters. The majority of men and women under the age of 25 think that all believers are equally valid people. The hopelessness they feel is reflected in school shootings and other crimes committed by young people that we see today. I remember when I was a kid, many of us young guys that duck hunted in the mornings before class, we kept our shotguns in the trunk of a car. That wouldn't happen today. Parents would be in jail over something like that. No, none of my friends, none of my buddies, and I know many of you tell the same story. We never thought about doing harm to any. It's just part of our life. Some seminaries teach students to doubt the Word of God, and the result is that fewer and fewer pastors are grounded in biblical principles. This is statistical, proven data. And what we end up with is a watered-down version of the Word of God. It's not surprising to me that many people in our country lack Christ-centered morals, because they've forsaken that belief structure. They've not held on to what they believe. And what we believe matters. What does the Bible say about defending the truth? God, help me to defend the truth of the Word today. That's what I say. I want to be a defender of the truth. I want to be a defender of the Word. I want to stand up for God's Word. That's what the Scripture was saying. He says, you know, that we should be prepared to explain what we believe. If somebody asks you, what do you believe? Can you tell them? Can you tell them what you believe? And why you believe that way? Knowing the truth and being grounded in the truth protects us from being influenced by unbiblical beliefs. You won't be led astray. There's a lot of false teachers out there. There's a lot of people teaching stuff that's untruth. It goes against the Word of God. A lot of things happening socially today that goes against the Word of God, and they're trying to justify it through the Word, and that's not true. And 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside by fables." I think we're living in that time more so now than ever. People try to find things to justify, and so if they can't justify it, they find somebody that will agree with them, and then they say, well, that guy's right. They set aside the truth just to satisfy their own desire. There will be false teachers and non-biblical teachings. And I would say stay clear of all this. Be careful about what you fall into. You know, our values are vitally important because they affect every area of our lives. when I was a couple weeks ago talking about what we say matters, it matters what we do, how we act, what we say. It affects everything about our lives and everyone around us. It affects our witness. For the most part, our thoughts are determined by our actions. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, you should develop a belief system based on the authority of the Word of God. And how does knowing what we believe help us? How does knowing that help us? It prevents us from being misled, of course. Unless believers know the truth, they can easily be swayed by eloquent or charismatic leaders whose teaching is not based on the Bible. That's why I encourage each and every one of you, read the Bible, read the Word of God every day. Read the Word of God. When somebody says something, read the Word of God to see if they're telling you really what the Word of God says. Because it wasn't written so that we couldn't understand it. It was written for you to understand. If you're a child of God, then He will give you the understanding that you need. Second Timothy 4, verse 1 says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. I just want to read that again. I want you to take that in. It protects us when we know what we believe, and it protects us from these intimidations of being led astray. Those who are grounded in God's Word can confidently stand against the world that mocks and attacks our faith. And I'm telling you, we're being attacked right now. It prepares us for answering sincere questions. They may not like our answer. People may not like what you tell them, but you can tell them, because you know that that's what the Word says, and you can stand on that truth. In Matthew 28:19, it says, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. He's with us. People may not want to hear the truth, but their final destination depends on the truth. And that depends on us telling the truth. We mislead one, we mislead many. Many criticize and talk badly about Christians, and many times the same individuals will come to find, they'll come find you when you need help too, won't they? It's funny how people that never go to church and never pray and never talk, you know, never read their Bibles, but yet when a tragedy happens, they want to come find a pastor, or they want to come find a Christian friend because they want prayer. They get their prayer and then they turn and walk right back into the hell they came from. Amazes me sometimes. They'll criticize you, how you live your life, how you dedicated your life, how you don't go do things. But yet they need you. This world needs us as a church. And do I turn them away? No. I just speak the truth. I just tell them what the Word of God says. I don't tell them something just so I can make them feel good. I tell them what the Word of God says. Can you defend your beliefs today, this morning? Can you defend what you believe by the Word of God and the principles found in the Word of God? If not, you leave yourself open for temptation and attacks, spiritual attacks, because we have an adversary out there that wants to destroy your faith. He roams to and fro all over this world, and what he wants is to tear you apart. Prepare yourselves to defend biblical principles. Preparation is never wasted. Sometimes we feel like we don't have time to read. Sometimes we feel like we don't have time to pray. But all you're doing is preparing yourself when you do for situations that will come in your life. And the more you pray and the more you read, the better prepared you are for those situations that happen in your life. What we believe does matter, and it will direct the course of our lives. We need to be ready to make a difference in this world that desperately needs to hear the love of Jesus. They need to hear. They need to know. How will people know that there's a hell if we don't tell them? How will people know that there's a loving God if we don't tell them? They're not going to get it outside in this world today. They're going to hear all kinds of mixed up stuff. We need to be ready to make a difference. Share what you believe. Some people's lives balance on what you do, whether they make it to heaven or hell. That's a big responsibility for the church, but it's the truth. Jesus left us here to be Him. He left us here to take His place, to be the hands and feet, to be the body of Christ, to share the Word, to show the love of Jesus. You know, everyone in some way, form, or fashion, whether they're a Christian or not, has a belief system. Make sure yours is well thought out and not something you developed over the years or adopted because it fits your lifestyle. Make sure it lines up with the Word of God. You know, that's why I stand here as a pastor in the Nazarene church. You know, there's a lot of things that I could go and I could argue about that in our doctrinal practices, I will say, out of the manual. I could look at those things and I could try to argue with them, but you know what? All in all, that doesn't really matter. I stay because I know that it's grounded, the Word, the views of the Nazarene church have always been grounded and worded, grounded in the Word of God is what I'm trying to say. It's always been structured. And I stick to that structure because why? Because it's beneficial to me. It's beneficial to you. And that's why it's so important that I think that's where the church has lost out over the years. Many churches have lost out over the years because they've not stayed structured, grounded, stuck together, united into one body, working together for the same purpose. That's what I mean by all that. I'm not saying that being a Nazarene pastor is the only way you're going to get to heaven. No, that's not it at all. That's not what I'm saying. Believing in Jesus Christ, because he says through Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. What I mean is what we believe matters. Getting grounded in the Word of God and sticking to that structure, sticking to that is what matters. Staying faithful to that matters. So my challenge is to study the Bible to find out if what you believe has its basis in the Word of God. Fact check yourself. We've heard a lot of that word used here lately, right? Over the last 4 years. Fact check. Fact check. Well, fact check yourself. What you believe matters, and it affects everyone around you. Mark's laughing at me. I don't want to take up too much of your time this morning, but I had Verna put something up that I'd like to read with you. Would you read with me this morning? Jesus, what I believe does matter. I believe in you and your living, life-changing, saving, and yoke-destroying Word of God. I believe you died on a cross for me. I believe that your blood was shed for me. I believe you rose from the dead, defeated death, hell, and the grave. I believe I am healed. I believe I am blessed, coming and going. I believe I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. I believe you have a great plan for my life. I believe in you, Jesus. Amen and amen. You believe that this morning? Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again, Lord, for this opportunity to come and share your word, Lord. And thank you for speaking through me today. Lord, let us be grounded in your word. Let us not forsake our calling, Lord. Let us have the opportunity, Lord, to share with others. And Lord, the harvest field is ripe. So Lord, let us be good witnesses. Lord, let us always be a bright light in this dark world. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for this church. Continue to bless it. Thank you for your healings, and thank you for your victories, and thank you for breaking strongholds and tearing down walls, Lord. Thank you for bringing this church together, united for one cause and one purpose, and that's to serve you. Share your word and be great disciples for you. Lord, let us leave here better than we came. And in all things I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you all this morning for coming.